Super Talk Mississippi Media Production. You're listening to Thunder and Lightning on Super Talk Mississippi, covering Mississippi State sports like nobody else. With Sports Talk Mississippi's Brian Haydad and Robbie Falk of On3 Sports. Now get ready for Thunder and Lightning.
This is Thunder and Lightning here on Super Talk Mississippi. Brian Haydad and Robbie Falk here with you on a Tuesday morning. Thanks for joining us here at supertalk.fm or wherever it is that you get podcasts from. We appreciate all you guys out there, our great listeners, especially our servicemen and women out there taking care of us. We want to thank our sponsors over at Strange Brew Coffee House and Churn and Spoon Ice Cream. Start your day the right way with a trip to the drive-thru over at Strange Brew Coffee House here in Starkville or at Brupolo over in Tupelo. It'd be a little weird, Robbie, if Brupolo was in Buckhorn.
Would be a little weird.
Mm. Wherever you are in our great
Brew state, Horn?
It could work. Buck Brew could also work. But then you have to sell coffee for a dollar.
I think it's got to be Brew Horn.
Yeah. We'll go with that. It's fine. So, I mean, you know what? I'm in a given mood today. Although I almost messed with you earlier today. I have to tell you this. I had to stop myself from texting this to you. But earlier today, I texted Robbie. I was like, hey, let's go at 1. He's like, sure. And then I text him like, hey, I'm going to go get a haircut. I might be a few minutes late, but I'll be there as quick as I can. And he just sends back, that's fine. And I deleted this text. I was like, well, I'm glad it's fine because it's sure as hell the way it's going to be. I had it typed out.
Oh, is it?
Yeah.
You're just going to record without me.
I just wanted to see what you would do if I said that.
I mean, you've done that. You've done stuff like that before. It wouldn't faze me at all.
I guarantee you it's going to be after 1. How about that? Is that fine?
It wouldn't have bothered me at all. I would have known exactly what you were doing. I've been around you enough, young man.
I don't know why it's so funny to me, but I was just like, I had it typed out. I was like, I just don't feel like doing this today. I just don't feel like getting it.
Most days you do.
Yeah, but today is not. I'm in a good mood today. Wherever you are in our great state, you can enjoy Strange Brew Coffee every morning. It's just a click away. StrangeBrewCoffeeHouse.com. You can have it delivered right to your door, and you can enjoy the same coffee you get at the drive-thru every single day. Our good friends at Pip Printing and Signs have a deal you simply cannot turn down if you're a Mississippi State fan and a business owner. If you're a business owner, you spend money on printing. That's just part of the gig. How would you like to spend money on printing with a great company that turns around and donates part of what you spend with them right back to the Bulldog Initiative in your name? That's what Pip Printing and Signs is offering you. They're offering you a lot more than that, though. They're offering you 30 years of experience and a variety of services, the signage, printing, everything your business needs to get customers in the front door. So give them a call today. Call Camden Baker at 601-499-5216. Tell them you heard about him on Thunder and Lightning. And he's going to set you up, and he's going to set your business up to be a Bulldog Initiative business without spending an extra dime of your money. When you need printing, call Pip today. College Corner, collegecornerstore.com is the place to find the maroon and white merchandise that you are looking for. When we get out of this, Robbie, I have a question for you, by the way. It's related to logo wear. So remind me. Okay. But if you need new logo wear, if you need new Mississippi State gear, College Corner is the place to get it. Two locations to serve you in the Jackson area, Ridgeland by Fleet Feet, Flowood by the Half Shell, or you can shop online at collegecornerstore.com. Restaurant Tyler is the place to go in town for the best meal in town. For breakfast, for lunch. I'm not for breakfast. For lunch, I always say breakfast. And I'm like, now I just need them to start breakfast. Brian, Tyler, if you're listening, breakfast. We need breakfast. You need a breakfast place.
I mean, I wouldn't be upset about it.
I'm just saying,
it's still pretty good what they got going on here.
What they've got going on is the best in town. I'm just saying they could add to they can make my job easier, and that when I say breakfast, I don't feel like an idiot.
Well, brunch is pretty close to breakfast.
You have a lot of breakfast items. You gotta have it every day.
That's true, but it's not everybody's going out for breakfast every morning.
No, you're not wrong. You're not wrong. So, I guess, you know, a guy can dream. Well, I guess I'll have to.
I love breakfast. I had breakfast this morning.
I stopped eating breakfast.
I usually don't. I usually take my Athletic Greens, but twice a week.
You and Conrad.
Twice a week. I think mine actually. I think I actually take mine. I don't know if he actually takes this, just to be honest. I think he
takes unathletic greens.
I think he takes maybe bacon grease. So I go 2 days a week. I usually go to Cody Earls in Ackerman. I mentioned them before. Yeah,
good place.
Excellent.
To go.
My good friend Dakota Brazier. I wish everybody could come to Ackerman every day and eat this breakfast because it's great. Yeah. But I do love breakfast, but I've cut down on it a good bit.
I've stopped eating breakfast and I've lost some weight as a result of it. Oh well,
one day
Tyler had breakfast.
I hate to break up the restaurant Tyler talk with this other stuff. So I'll let you get back to it.
Yeah, let's just finish that up. So for the best meal in town, head to Restaurant Tyler. 16 Priority One Bank. So we got breakfast and the logo wear thing after the ad read. Priority One Bank locations throughout Central Mississippi. That means there's one near you if you live in Central Mississippi. That means a better banking relationship isn't too far away. If you are currently working with a big corporate bank and you're tired of the poor service, if you're tired of when you have questions about your money, you've got to go through a 1-800 number and hear everybody's favorite line, your business is important to us. If you don't want to hear that anymore, you need to call Priority One Bank. You need to go talk to the good folks there. And then when you need to talk to someone about your money, it's a phone call away. It's a hello on the other end of the line. That's the difference I like to talk about with Priority One Bank. When you're talking about your money, my money, I like to talk to the people. I want to know who I got to talk to when I got a question about my bank account. So that's why I suggest you talk to a community bank like Priority One Bank. Let Priority One Bank make you their priority. Breakfast.
What about it?
You had something to say.
Oh, I feel like I spoke my piece on it.
Okay.
I mean, all right. I just said I've been to Cody Earls. And
I might get up early one day and come. We'll go.
Day you get up, you meet me there about 8 o'clock,
mm-hmm.
and I promise you.
Weekends.
Yes.
Okay.
On Saturday.
All right. All
yes.
Right. We'll see.
You get up on Saturday. Come down.
Mm-hmm.
And I promise you, you will leave happy. Guarantee it.
Oh, guarantee. All right. I'm in. Here's my question.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I've lost this weight, continuing to work. So as I do that, shirts come back into my rotation, including some shirts I have literally never worn because I've always been too big for them, right?
Mm-hmm.
I have some polos that Joe Galbraith gave me when he left.
Oh.
That I have literally never worn.
And they're probably all Banner M.
They're all Banner M, but I've never worn them. Am I allowed to wear one time? Just to say I wore it.
Sure. I'll publicly shame you, but yeah, you can wear it.
Very good. I'll make sure to wear it. Okay.
There is remnants of the Banner M in my house.
Yeah,
so
you can escape it.
You're never going to fully get rid of it.
Like I saw it today, and I was like, I wonder if I could put that on. And I put it on. And I was like, it fit. I was like, I've literally never put this shirt on. Never. Like he gave me like 5 shirts and none of them fit.
And he's like, I'm not going to be upset at you that if that's what you decide to do.
Okay. Like I said, I'm not gonna wear it out and about.
Celebrate the fact that you've lost weight and you're able to wear those shirts.
All right, then we'll do that. So I'm gonna celebrate some perhaps potential recruiting news. And that's what we're gonna start with here today. As Mississippi State trying to wind things down in the transfer portal. As we talked about yesterday, Trent Hudson committed to Mississippi State on Sunday. And it feels like, from an offensive standpoint, Robbie, unless Quinshon Judkins wants to come back to the state of Mississippi, I feel like Mississippi State's probably pretty done in the transfer portal as far as offensive players go. Defensively, that's not the case. There's still some names on the board for Mississippi State. One is on campus as we're recording, and that is Indiana cornerback Kobe Miner. So interesting kind of situation here with cornerbacks, right? There are 3 quality ones in the portal. One visited Mississippi State this weekend. One is visiting Mississippi State as we speak, and one was going to visit Mississippi State, but then he committed to Alabama, and now he's out. And that's Deshaun Jones, the cornerback from Wake Forest. Miner was supposed to visit Alabama next. That visit has been canceled. So it feels like it was an either-or situation there with Jones and Miner. Robbie, it feels like Mississippi State might finally be about to break through here in the defensive backfield and get a quality player committed.
Yep, fingers crossed. I think with Jones and Minor, it was like an either or for Alabama and State. Like I don't foresee State taking two cornerbacks at this point because it just doesn't look like they have the numbers.
Mm-hmm.
I've looked at the numbers. We have a bunch of people on our board that have run the numbers. We're all coming up with basically the same number. It looks like State is at 83. That's where I am right now. So that means two spots. And maybe there's something that they can do to get one scholarship. I'm not sure. But right now it appears they're at 83. And I don't know who all is on scholarship, who all has been given a scholarship as far as walk-ons or whatever, but that's what it looks like right now. That means you're basically down to a cornerback and an edge is what State's after.
Right.
And it looked to me like they were going to bring in Jones if he had left Alabama uncommitted. They were going to bring him on an official visit. Right. He ends up coming to Alabama. Bama was going to bring in Minor for an official visit. Both of those were canceled simultaneously, basically.
Yeah.
So State now, it looks like, has the inside track for Minor. If they can close this thing out, this would be huge. This is your number one cornerback, basically.
Yeah, I think if Minor commits, your depth chart is probably him on one side and Bryce Pollock on the other. And then you have Brylan Lanier, who can play in the nickel, can play at either corner spot. I mean, if that's your third corner, I think you feel pretty good about that. And then you have Kelly Jones, who I keep talking about. I'm so intrigued with him because of his size. But if you can let him come along another year and be that fourth corner, be your second string corner, I think that sets up well for the future. Minor was going to start at Indiana. I mean, everything I've seen from him is, potential starting cornerback. And before anybody says, well, that's at Indiana, I don't know for a fact that either Mississippi State starting corners would start at Indiana.
Yeah.
State.
But we're not expecting Mississippi State to pick up anybody that's going to make them the SEC champions this year.
Right.
We just want somebody that can knock down a pass, that can guard a wide receiver in the SEC, intercept passes. That's all you're looking for at this point. Can you get somebody that can defend in this league? And I feel like this guy can. I'm not expecting Mississippi State's defense to be top half of the league this year. I just want a defense that can get off the field a few times a game. If I feel really good about the offense being able to score 35 plus points, then I need the defense to just not be god awful. Can they just be okay? Because that gives you a chance to win a lot of games in this league if you can do that. This is no longer a defensive league. That narrative has kind of moved out the door. Alabama was a good defense last year, but they weren't the Alabama that they were. Georgia was a good defense last year, but these are not defenses that are holding teams to 6 points a game anymore. That's just not going to happen in this game. You have to adjust. Offense is the name of the game now, and the defense is just kind of there to get turnovers and stop the opposing team from scoring touchdowns as much as they can. But it's no longer a league that's dominated by the defense. And that's kind of where you are as a program right now, is you're trying to get enough players in here to kind of piece it together this year and then go from there next year. And hopefully State next season can have a head start here in putting together a better roster on the defensive side of the ball. But you take what you can get right now, and Kobe Minor would be a really good pickup for Mississippi State, a guy that he had four pass deflections last year, cornerback, playing in the Power Five. He's probably the best cornerback on the team immediately for Mississippi State next year, I think.
I've seen a lot of message board chatter about, this Hutzler may only be one and done. I just simply cannot see that happening here. I feel like first off, Lebby has put together a staff of guys that he knows that he's worked with before. So there's some familiarity there. People bring up Mullen and, letting go of Carl Torbush after the first year. Mullen had no connections to Carl Torbush. I think Mullen just wanted to bring in a veteran defensive guy. And when he saw how badly think about how badly that unit underachieved Mullen's first year. They had Pernell McPhee and Jonathan Banks Fletcher Cox and Chris White and KJ Wright and all these guys out there, and they weren't a very good defense. And so they moved on. This is Hutzler's first chance as a defensive coordinator. I cannot imagine that, unless State is just Peter Sermon level bad, if not worse, that there's going to be another year, that they're not going to see another year for Coleman Hutzler. And that being the case, I think having some continuity, having some film out there on him, and seeing, you know, what Mississippi State's going to be under Jeff Lebby and Coleman Hutzler will go a long way in the recruiting process next year. I think State will be a lot more successful bringing in guys than they were a season ago. I get why they couldn't get guys in this year. A first-year coach, first-year defensive coordinator, he has no track record of anything. I get why it was difficult to bring guys in this year. Now you're at the point like Kobe Miner's looking at it and going, saying, hey, this is a starting job available to me at an SEC school. That's a tough deal to pass up. So that's, you know, I made the analogy the other day about, you know, you're at closing time right now. You got to go home with who'll take you. That's where Mississippi State is right now, and that's where Kobe Miner is right now. But it may end up being a really good relationship for State. And then there's Bai Job, who I hope I'm pronouncing that right, because I really, really want that to be his name.
I think it is.
And well, then we'll see if he's going to end up being here at Mississippi State. Very quiet. And I don't know how, you know, with the way social media is today and why the way, you know, I think back to Damian Martinez, every one of his visits, he was basically doing a vlog about how everything was going. You don't hear much from Job at this point. And I guess we expect to hear something in the next day or two as far as he goes. Do you feel like State did enough with him, or you think that's going to be another strikeout for State?
I don't know. I mean, I don't think anybody really knows. It seems like he, for the most part, he's kind of keeping things close to the vest. I know Kansas is an option for him, but you just don't really see a lot of information coming out of his visits. And I don't know if that's a good thing for Mississippi State or a bad thing, but there's certainly been, like, no information coming out at this point.
Yeah.
So I don't know, but that, I mean, they need a guy like this, and he's still quite raw. I mean, this is a guy that is, you know, kind of coming into his own at this point, hasn't had a ton of experience. It's not a guy that I feel like is kind of like a Miner that can come in here and immediately make a difference. I don't know if that's going to be the case, but it just gives you another body out there. And a guy that's played in college football for a year at this point, it would be good for Mississippi State to land him, because it just doesn't look like they're really in it for anybody else. So it feels like an important pickup for Mississippi State if they can get it. I just don't know anything about it at this point.
You talked about him being a raw prospect, and I agree with that. But at the same time, State's in a position right now where they need to take a couple of gambles. You know, they can take a chance on somebody who's high ceiling. I mean, if it doesn't pan out, it doesn't pan out, but you could end up with a guy who makes a big difference for you. If State can bring him in, I'm all on board with that. And that would put State at 85 as far as we can tell. If they get Miner and they get Job, that's 85. And you just kind of move forward from there, you know, and barring any last second, you know, drama, then everything's done. A lot of people are asking, you know, well, what happens if you do blah, blah, blah? I mean, at the end of the day, scholarships are year-to-year deals, and so State could force a guy out if they wanted to. I think that leaves a bad taste in everybody's mouth, and I think Lebby would try to avoid that at all costs. But at this point, you know, my guess is by this time next week, Robbie, whatever the roster is, that's what the roster is going to be when we go into a preseason camp in August.
Yeah, it feels like this is it. There could be, you know, if they miss out on these two, there could be more guys that they go after, but and it does seem like they want to make sure they get somebody. I don't think they're just going to just leave those positions void, but they've narrowed it down basically now to, you got your wide receiver, you got your running back, you're now narrowed down to the cornerback and the edge. And so it looks like they've kind of zeroed in on those positions. They're wanting to fill those spots, and then they're going to focus on their team moving forward from there. So it looks like State just about has its roster set. Nobody else is leaving because the portal's closed. So it looks like you got your guys.
Yeah, and that's the roster at that point. I think offensively, you've got a roster that can compete with anybody in the SEC, and then defensively, you've got a roster. And we'll see if it competes. I can't remember a time in my life where I had this many questions defensively about Mississippi State. Even going, you know, the Sermon year, the year after, you know, you bring in Todd Grantham, who was a very well-respected coordinator at that time. But I knew the talent was there. I knew that unit had underperformed relative to its talent in 2016. This season, I just don't know enough about the guys. I mean, Stone Blanton is and DeMonte Russell are the two most proven guys out there, in my opinion. And, I mean, that's saying something because neither one of those guys have done a whole ton at Mississippi State. I was thinking ahead to media days and, you know, filling out my bracket for my preseason All-SEC team. I don't know that I'll vote for a single Mississippi State player on the defensive side of the ball.
No, it's a very inexperienced group. And I'm not, like, totally down on the defense because I do feel like there's talent there. That's the thing. I mean, there are talented guys there. It's just how are you supposed to give them the benefit of the doubt when they haven't played in this league or at least not extensively at this point? So it's just one of those deals where you're just going to have to let it play out and see how they – adjust. I thought last year, you know, first part of the season, that defense was really unimpressive, and it was worrisome kind of watching them out there at times. But I thought they got better and better. We'll see if that kind of comes to fruition with this team once they start getting more and more playing time, because you got a lot of guys that are hungry and they want to play. And I did think that seeing them fly around a little bit in the very little time we saw them play, the videos that we watch, the spring game, they're going to be aggressive and they're going to hit you. I mean, that's a good thing to me. And if that means like you're going to take some lumps at times, big plays or whatever, I don't have a problem with it. You still need to have a defense that's going to be physical and going to kind of assert its will and its style of play on you. And that can make up for a lot of deficiencies. Yeah.
I say it all the time. If you can't cover, you might as well be aggressive, right? If you're not sure about what you got back in the secondary, then you might as well just blitz and try to make some quick throws, try to force some pressure, do what you got to do there. So I think that's what Hutzler is going to do in year one.
You can over scheme. You can scheme a defense to being somewhat successful. I mean, there's only so much you can get out of that because mm-hmm. you just don't have the talent or the depth or whatever. But scheme does have a lot to do with the team's success on the defensive side of the ball. Being mm-hmm. well coached, running a good scheme, and being able to defend a team and that chess match that you might have there can go a long way. So if Coleman Hutzler ends up being a guy that's calling a good defense, that's a good start for Mississippi State. But there's definitely some concern there and some unknowns that we're not going to know about until we really see this team line up and start playing some SEC football.
It's funny when you look at State's schedule too. There's four teams on there that I would tell you right now will likely be in the college football playoff, right? Georgia, Texas, Missouri, Ole Miss. Everybody else on there, you get your four non-conference games in Arkansas, Florida, Texas A&M. Who am I missing?
I'm missing.
There's another conference game I'm missing. Tennessee is a potential playoff team. But you have four non-conference games that look very winnable. And then those three games I mentioned there, Florida and Arkansas, neither one of those teams are great. They both have to come to Starkville. I think Arkansas might be the worst team in the conference this year. And then A&M is a team that State's had success against over the past decade. So, I mean, I'm certainly not going to just – I think right now A&M would be favored in that game, but I wouldn't just sit here and tell you straight up that there's no way State could win that game. And, again, it's in Starkville. So, I'm excited to see if this team can surprise me. If I say 6-6, can they surprise me and get to 7? Can they be more competitive in those games against Georgia and Texas than I think they're going to be? I think they'll be competitive against Missouri and Ole Miss for sure. But, you think about State's record against Georgia over the past, five, six games that they played them, especially which seem to have all been in the last 5-6 years, by the way.
I know.
But it's always a blow. Georgia, and same way they were playing with Alabama. Texas, I expect it to be the same way. Can I be surprised? Can State go to Texas and make that a game in the fourth quarter? Those are the marks I'm looking for in Lebby's first year at Mississippi State.
Yeah, it's being competitive against the elite teams in this league, winning the games you're supposed to win, and winning the 50-50 games, those games that Mississippi State always has, the ones that teeter you from 6-6 or 5-7 to 7 wins or 8 wins. I'm not saying State's going to get there, but mm-hmm. the Auburns that you usually have, I know they're not playing them this year, but you know, the Auburns and the Arkansas and the A&Ms that are usually kind of the make or break games for Mississippi State. Those are the games that you need to win this year for Mississippi State. And again, I know they're not playing Auburn, but those games that are, when you play them, that are, it can go either way. State needs to win those and then beat the teams that they're supposed to beat and be competitive, show some competitive fire with those teams like Texas and Georgia, staying in the ball game in the second half or whatever it takes. That's going to go a long way. And in the offseason, that could be a, you know, an offseason like we saw from 2009 to 2010 when Dan Mullen was here, where you got a ton of momentum, a lot of excitement. You're selling a lot of tickets. You're getting a lot of NIL donations. You're making headway with recruits. Jeff Lebby starts to become a guy that's really popular with the recruits out there. That's kind of, you know, what you're looking for this year. This is, if you're going in this with your expectations 8 or 9 wins, then
you're gonna have a bad time.
You're setting yourself up for failure. You have to look at this a lot differently than that.
Yeah.
You have to look at it where you're making huge improvements in areas like the offense being exciting and things like that. Because even if you're not winning games, you know, Colorado last year improved their win total by like 2 or 3 games or whatever. They won like 4 games. They were the talk of college football because of Deion Sanders.
Right.
This is completely different. I'm not saying Jeff Lebby is Deion Sanders, but they were exciting. They were must-watch television. People wanted to see what the offense looked like and what Deion Sanders was doing. Can Mississippi State put together an offense where people are saying, man, they put up, you know, 28, 30 points on Georgia. You know, they put up this amount of points on Texas. Whether they win or lose, people are going to tune into that to see what Jeff Lebby's offense is doing. That's what you're looking for this year, more so than just wins and losses. Although, yeah, I think the goal is to get to a bowl game.
I mean, you look at Mullen's first season. That's the most exciting 5-7 season in Mississippi State history. I mean, people were so pumped at the end of it. Now, a good bit of that is because he was able to beat Ole Miss at the end of the year and kind of spoil their what was a special season for them to that point. If Jeff Lebby could do that somehow, then you talk about complete and total buy-in from the Mississippi State fan base. That's going to be very tough because this is a really, really good Ole Miss team, and the game is in Oxford this year. But I say that saying that State's won 3 of the last 4 games in Oxford. Who knows? And Lebby, look, I think that's going to be interesting because it kind of cancels each other out, but like, there's so much knowledge of tendencies in this year's Egg Bowl, right? Lebby is going to know Kiffin's tendencies. Kiffin's going to know Lebby's. And then on the other side of the ball, Golding and Hutzler work together. They're going to know each other's tendencies as well. Hutzler might have the advantage just because he's never called plays before there, but he has less talent, so I don't know how that balances out. So this Egg Bowl, we're so far away from it. Although I say that, Robbie, today we are 17 weeks away from the first game of the season, from week one, which means next week at this time is our first SEC preview.
Yes.
So we're going to go alphabetically this year, Robbie. We always mess up and we can't remember who we've done. We're just going to go alphabetically.
Except that's smart.
State and Ole Miss. We'll take State and Ole Miss to be the last two, but we'll go Alabama through Vanderbilt, and then we'll go Ole Miss, then Mississippi State.
We should have done that from the beginning. But
we should have. We're not.
We learn. You live and learn.
You live and learn. All right. Let's move into the rest of the show that's brought to you by our friends over at the Mississippi Beef Council, who want to remind you that beef, it is what's for dinner. I'm doing beef tonight for dinner. I went to Kroger. They had these burger patties that are like brisket and chuck mixed together. I'm like, you know what? Yeah, I go for a cheeseburger tonight. So that's what we're having at the Heyday household. Yeah. I'm excited. I haven't had a good cheeseburger. I've had a bad cheeseburger. I mean, I guess there's no such thing as a bad cheeseburger, but I haven't had a good cheeseburger in quite a while. So I'm looking forward to that tonight. And you could be too. It's just it's just heading to the grocery store, heading to the meat counter and picking up some burgers, picking up some steaks for the family. Also this weekend, I got to cook steaks for the wife for Mother's Day. So it's a red meat kind of week here in the Haydad household. I hope it is for you as well. Beef, it's what's for dinner. Thanks to our friends at the Mississippi Beef Council. Two Brothers Smoked Meats in the heart of the Cotton District is the place to find the smoked Southern soul food that you are looking for. We haven't been in a couple weeks, Robbie, so let's see if we can't make that happen.
Name the time, brother.
Well, I'm not. Wednesday.
Yeah, we'll see.
All right. See, do you see what I have to deal with here, folks? Do you see? Name a time, brother. Wednesday. We'll see. That's he just did that. That well, rewind the show. Listen to what had just happened.
Wednesday is always a weird day for me because I usually got to go to church on Wednesday night, and I live 30 minutes away. Not
Thursday.
You live Thursday probably work. Yeah.
Thursday. All right. See, I fixed it. All right.
Thursday works.
So some smoked Southern soul food is going to be on the menu on Thursday. I'm looking forward to it. I like doing that because it gives me something to look forward to. It gives me a reason to live until Thursday. You know, I otherwise I've been like, I don't know if I want to go on. But now
you don't want to live until you know you're going to go to Two Brothers.
Some chicken chipotle tacos or some pork rind nachos.
Yes.
Whatever it is, I'm going to enjoy it at Strange Brew. All right, Strange Brew at Two Brothers Smoked Meats. Great products and great service is what every business likes to promise you. They deliver it to you at Advantage Business Systems. They've been doing it. Are we going to go to Strange Brew on Halloween dressed as AC/DC?
Yes, why not?
Get some pork rind. I think we need to do that. All right. Great products, great service is what every business likes to promise you. They deliver it to you at Advantage Business Systems. They've been doing it for 49 years. When you need technology for your business, give them a call. If you need a new copy or a new printer, new computers, whatever it is. And then if you have a problem, if there's something that goes wrong, and with machines, it will, you're just calling back the same number that made the sale to you. Not a 1-800 number, not a call center, not being on hold for 45 minutes, not an out-of-state technician that takes a week to 10 days to get to you. Now, a lot of times, because you're in Mississippi and they're in Mississippi, they can solve your problem the exact same day. That's the difference between being a neighbor and being a number. 601-362-9192, or you can visit them online at absms.com. Find out how Advantage Business Systems will help your business do business. If you're going to be in Starkville anytime soon and you need new gear, you need to head to Maroon & Co. Also, don't forget, you know, custom cowbells there from the Bellsmith. Graduation coming up. If you want to get that grad something special, a custom cowbell is a great gift. Might be a little late in the game to have it there for graduation, but it could certainly be an order you could place and get made for you to have it in as soon as possible. If you want to dress like the coaches and wear the Bulldog Initiative gear, that's only available to you at Maroon & Co., along with an incredible selection of Mississippi State items, all with the logos that you are looking for. Before you go to Duty Noble this spring, make sure you go to Maroon & Co. Looking more and more like you'll be going to Duty Noble this summer for Mississippi State baseball. On3 put out their projections today. Later this week, we'll see Baseball America. We'll see D1 baseball. Aaron Fitt's going to join us here on the podcast tomorrow to talk about some Mississippi State baseball and some hosting chances. But Robbie, now that you know that the weekend that was has kind of settled down, it's pretty evident now that if State just does what we've been saying they have to do, and that's not get swept against Arkansas and go 3-1 at worst in the week with North Alabama and Missouri. And that has that right now, Mississippi State would be favored to make that a 4-0 week. If they go 4-0 that week, so that would be what? They have 7 games left. If they're 5-2, they're going to host.
Yeah.
Simple as that. Assuming that one loss isn't to North Alabama.
They'll absolutely host.
Yeah.
And they'll be, in my opinion, at this point, seeing kind of the dust settle a little bit as we get closer to the end of the season, I think they will be in the running for a national seed. I think winning this series and sweeping Missouri, if that's a tall, tall task, but that is your path to a national seed at this point.
Right.
If you can somehow win this weekend and then you go 4-0 next week, that is a national seed. I mean, you're talking at that point, let's see, that would be 6-1 to finish.
Mm-hmm.
So you would be 16 out of your last 19 games or wins, 16-3.
Yeah.
With 19 SEC wins, you've won 16 out of 19 games.
Yeah, you're in the SEC tournament. At that point.
That's a top 8 team. I mean,
top 8 seed with 6 non-conference losses. I mean, they could have easily been a top 5 seed in this season if they just take care of their business.
Well, and again, it's like we talked about, think of all those games they could have had. I mean, this could be a 22-win team or something, yeah, man. Really, I mean, like, it really is it's a team that has the potential to be great if they could just knock out some of these stupid mistakes.
Mm-hmm.
There's no other way to say it. So, we'll, you know, that it's one of those situations where I've said it every week, you take one game at a time. You literally have to just try to get whatever you can on that day. Try to win a game that day and then worry about the next day whenever that comes.
Yeah.
That's, you know, that's why a lot of people got upset about bringing in Tyler Davis on Saturday.
Mm-hmm.
I wasn't super upset about that because you just need to win the game. And right. then you don't worry about the next day on Saturday. You win the ball game and go from there.
Yeah.
And, yeah, it would have been nice to have Tyler Davis on Sunday. I still think he probably could have pitched if they really needed him. But, you know, State didn't pull its weight elsewhere. And if you're just if you only have one guy that you think can come out there or one or two guys that you think can come out there and get the job done, how far are you going to go anyway? You know?
Right.
So at some point, some of these other guys have got to step up and have some big outings out of the bullpen for Mississippi State to be really good and have a chance to make a run this year.
Let's have a look at the what the bracket would look like in Hoover as we sit here right now. So your top four seeds that would get the 2-day bye, they wouldn't play until Wednesday. Kentucky would be the SEC champion at this point, the number one overall seed. They're 18-6 in the conference, which is interesting, Robbie. They're not number one in the nation. They're number one in the conference, but not number one in the nation. Tennessee is number one in the nation, having just taken 2 out of 3 2 weeks ago from Kentucky. The West champion as it sits right now would be Arkansas, and then Tennessee would be the 3 seed, Texas A&M the 4 seed. As it stands today, Mississippi State would be the 5 seed. They would play the Ole Miss Rebels in the 5-12 game. Ole Miss is 2 games up on Missouri to make it to Hoover. Missouri is currently in 13th place. Auburn is in 14th place. Auburn, their next 2 series are against Missouri. They're at Missouri this weekend, and they host Alabama to end the season. To make it to Hoover, Auburn's probably going to have to sweep both series. That's going to be an incredibly difficult challenge for them. So I'm counting Auburn out, and then Missouri getting Auburn at home, they could put their way fight their way back into this, and that's interesting because Ole Miss has Texas A&M this weekend. So you have
a hot LSU team.
You have a real scenario. I don't know who Missouri finishes the year with, and I'm not really worried about it, but you have a scenario where Missouri
with
could
Mississippi
beat
State.
Who?
Missouri ends the year with Mississippi State.
Oh, you're right.
Oh, you're right.
Yeah. There you go.
Are you worried about it now?
I'm a little more worried about it now, yes. But my point was, coming into that weekend, there's a strong possibility that Missouri could win their series with Auburn and Ole Miss gets swept by Texas A&M. And then at that point, Missouri would be in and Ole Miss would be out. So we'll have to see how that plays out. But as it sits right now, the 5-12 game, which is the late game on Tuesday, could be some late-night baseball between the Bulldogs and the Rebels. The 6th seed currently is the Georgia Bulldogs, coming off of a sweep of Vanderbilt. Vanderbilt, man, they have fallen apart, lost 5 of their last 6. They would take on LSU, who is sitting at 9-15 in the conference. They would play that game. That's the 6-11. The 7-10 game currently would be South Carolina against, I believe, Florida. South Carolina against Florida is your 7-10 game, and then your 8-9 game is Vanderbilt and Alabama. So that's if I'm pretty sure I'm correct on that, that's how the bracket sits up for Mississippi State or sets up for Hoover right now. A, I want that State Ole Miss game because I want the tiebreaker. I don't want to have to deal with anything else with Richard. I just want to win the competition, be done there, and I can reveal my plan for him at that point if I want to. I don't have to. I could just make him sweat all the way to the Palmer Home Radiothon. But secondly, you know, first off, there's some intriguing matchups there in that you know, some teams are going to need to win over in Hoover. If Ole Miss makes it to Hoover, which I would imagine it, if Ole Miss makes it to Hoover, they're probably sitting on, I don't know if they can get the NCAA tournament. I think Ole Miss is going to be sitting on 11 wins. I think they'll get one from A&M and one from LSU.
Yeah. They will not put them in the tournament with 11.
Yeah, they would have to get to, like, Saturday.
They wouldn't even do that.
You think they'd have to win the tournament?
I think 13 is the benchmark in the regular season to get in. I don't think they – if you don't get to that in the regular season, I don't think they put any thought.
The other problem is for Ole Miss is, if I'm correct, let's say they are 11 and 18 – or they'd be 11 and 19 in the conference. So that is – 8 more losses, they would be 28-30. They'd be under 500 too. So, yeah,
I don't know if has there been an SEC team make the tournament under 13 conference wins that hadn't won it?
Not that I know. Now, if there has, I'm not familiar with. No. So
14 is like usually the safe spot.
LSU is the opposite of that right now. They're 31-18. The RPI is good. They just need to keep winning series. They have who do they have this weekend? Let me see the schedule here. I know they finished the year with, like, as you mentioned, with Ole Miss. Oh my gosh, this the SEC website is just freaking awful.
Every SEC team's website is awful too.
Yeah, you're right. They have that's not correct. Load more. Yeah, they have Alabama. They're at Alabama this weekend. So,
ooh, and Alabama plays really good at home.
Play really well at home. LSU, they need to be at is 14 good enough for them? So they would have to win five of their last six.
Yeah, they'll get
five of their last six. So they got to win both series and sweep one of them.
Yeah, they're going to be cutting it close.
They get
man.
In with 13. What's their?
They would get them in with 13. Yes,
their RPI is 34. Yeah, they probably get in.
They would get in with 13. Ole Miss would probably get in with 13, and LSU, I think, would get him in 13 as well.
13, that they'd have to win. There's no way. Ole Miss cannot get to 13 wins. They can't. They have 9 right now. They're not going to win 4 of their last 6 in the conference.
Well, we didn't think that, in fairness, we didn't think that 2 years ago, and they went to Baton Rouge and
swept
on LSU.
You're not wrong, but I will be amazed if that happens.
I don't think it's going
to
happen.
Nothing to consider with Ole Miss. They have 2 non-conference games remaining, and they're both against decent teams. Murray State this week, I think they're a top 75 RPI team, and then they finish with USM. They have USM next week before they play LSU. And USM needs wins. They are a bubble team right now, so that's going to be a very interesting game. I think it's in Oxford. So,
Bama is very interesting in that, like, this whole time we thought NCAA tournament team, they're going to have to win here down the stretch.
They
they're
get
10-14 right now
with Auburn. They have a chance to get that. So that would,
but that Auburn's going to be playing spoiler.
Yeah. The good news for Alabama is their RPI, right? If they win one game against LSU and 2 against Auburn and they finish 13-17, their RPI is 14. They're getting in.
Mm-hmm.
They'll get in with 13 wins.
It looks like State – it's going to be tough for State to move up from 5, isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah, for that to happen, you would need Ole Miss to get one. You would need Ole Miss to get at least 1 from A&M. Then you need State to get 2 from Arkansas. That would mean A&M would be 18-9, and State would be 16-11. And then you would need State to sweep Missouri and Arkansas to sweep Texas A&M.
Yeah.
Seems difficult.
Mm.
Just looking around, we've already talked about
Florida. I just don't want that late game.
Yeah, I know. I don't think Florida is going to make the NCAA tournament. They just don't. They have a tough finish to the schedule. They're only 1 game above 500. It's going to
be hard. They've got to win. I think they've got to win 14.
Yeah. What is their RPI? Florida currently sitting at, well, they've dropped. Where are they? Well, it helps if you spell Florida. That's Florida State. Florida's at 23. God, 2 weeks ago they were like at 7. They're 10-14. I know they finished. They have, is it Kentucky this weekend? Yeah, they have they're Kentucky and then Georgia on the road.
Oof.
I mean, if they go 2-6 in that, or 2-4 in that, which is very possible, do they have a non-conference game?
They're not even going to be 500.
So let's say they win their non-conference game. They're going to be 25-23. If they lose 2 out of 3 to Kentucky, they would be 500. They'd be sitting at 26-26 with 3 games left. Yeah, if they lost the series to Georgia, they'd be under 500. They would need to win 3 in Hoover to get over 500.
Ooh.
That's tough. I don't think Florida's going to make it. I'll just say it. I don't think Florida's going to make it.
Which is a terrible job by Kevin O'Sullivan. Yeah.
Can we be honest about, I mean, they were
overrated.
He had that one national title, and that was a really good team. Don't get me wrong, but
he's overrated.
Overrated, yeah.
They're always loaded in talent. You got to give him credit for recruiting it, but
yeah. Vanderbilt, they're in. They can't host, so I mean, it just kind of is what it is with Vanderbilt. South Carolina is on the hosting bubble with Mississippi State. Georgia, is on the right side of that bubble, in my opinion. They're 13-11 in the conference now. They have a great chance to finish with 15, 16 wins, and they're number five in the RPI. I think they're going to end up getting a hosting spot. They'll win the series with Florida. Who was their other series against? I forgot. Georgia. Georgia this weekend has South Carolina. So, okay, that's kind of a hosting elimination series this weekend. Georgia, South Carolina. Loser of that's probably not going to host. The winner stays alive for it.
Yeah.
Makes sense. So,
very interesting conference this year.
It really is. You got four great teams, four elite teams, right? Four of the top five teams in the country. And then you have like State, South Carolina, Georgia, LSU is kind of in this discussion. South Carolina is in this discussion. That could beat anybody. Like, yeah. Mississippi State could string together 7-8 wins and find their way to Omaha. So could Georgia. I mean, Georgia is, with Condon is just – Georgia with Condon is kind of like – you mentioned this the other day. They're what State was in 2017, right? They're just – they'll go as far as he can take them.
Yeah.
And then, you know, South Carolina's pretty good. LSU is heating up at the right time. Alabama, going into last week, I thought was a good baseball team. I thought that series could have been more competitive than it actually was. But
you know, their lineup's good.
Their lineup is pretty good. So, yeah. And then you got Vanderbilt, who I think has got some talent there, but they're just not playing. They're the opposite of LSU. They're playing bad baseball at this time. So,
We'll
see how it goes. All right. Tomorrow's show is the Rumblings. You know what to do. Get the questions in. Plus, on the podcast feed, we'll have our interview with D1 Baseball's Aaron Fitt. Talk some hosting possibilities with him, some SEC tournament, things like that, going into a big weekend for Mississippi State baseball. Until tomorrow, for Robbie Falk, I'm Brian Haydad. Thanks for listening to Thunder and Lightning here on Super Talk Mississippi.
The doctor will see you now.
Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.